First boyfriend. Oh my God. 1985, I think. Yeah.
And what was his name?
John Gates.
Okay.
He died in Ottawa in around 1990, 19, yeah, I guess 1990, 1991.
So
He
not
was.
that long after you met him.
I met him in 85. I mean, we dated for a couple of months or something like
Yeah,
that. And
six years, not that long.
no. No, chances are he was already positive at that point in time. And, you know, who knows? He was a few years older than me. Five, six, I think, maybe more. And I was like 21 or something. So he would have been, I think he must have been like late 20s, early 30s at that point in time. He was chair of the Lesbian and Gay Community Center out in Vancouver. He actually refused, from what I understand, he refused treatment because it wasn't universally available.
How'd you meet him? Go ahead.
I was introduced to him by my father.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, they did anti-racism and human rights work together. So I met Sven Robinson through my dad, and in that whole sort of clique of gay men involved in human rights and sort of all of that in British Columbia back in the 80s and so on. So I met Sven Robinson at the same time, and Sven and John were friends as well, you know. And if you remember Laurier LaPierre and all of that, they were all part of that sort of clique of gay men in Vancouver at that time. So
So what did John do?
the BC Human Rights Coalition and other stuff. So he worked with he did contracting work around human rights and advocacy work and so on. I mean, the one of the conversations that we had is that I was closeted at that time. And he said to me, I remember him saying to me, you know, I'm that he was about to go off and be, you know, the public gay and all of that and stuff. And I wasn't ready for that. And I needed to go, you know, do my own journey. That was one of the conversations that we had, which was fine. I mean, you know.
What was his personality like?
My God, you're asking me to go back 40 years now, huh? Let me see. What was his personality like? You know, as activists, we wrestle with the public profile and how we are publicly and so on. He was smart. He was very intelligent. He was witty, and sometimes, being an activist, he was kind of gauche. So all of the above.
Lovely. Do you have any more thoughts on John?
My own progression in activism began as a person of color and as a Muslim and as an immigrant. And I often call myself the accidental activist because a large part of my activism has been about trying to find my own space and my own place in the world. And so the eventual expansion of my activism into queer and HIV activism was a natural progression, I guess, of my Muslim, immigrant, racialized, and that led into my sort of feminist advocacy in my work. And that came first. It was easier to be a feminist than to be gay. And so, but then, you know, these are all the linkages that sort of, and so John was part of that process for me because he was very out. And so it wasn't just that I came out and was in the bar scene or in the social scene or in the party scene or stuff like that. My family, both my parents involved in community and in community organizing and in social and political activism. And so connecting with John as sort of my first partner, my first boyfriend. And it wasn't a very long-lived relationship. It was just a couple of months, and it wasn't I wouldn't say it was like a, he was about, I think, close to 10 years older than me, and he had his own life, and I had my own life, and we saw each other when occasionally when we saw each other. But then our social realities were very different. I was at university. He had, I think, just finished university, if I recall, and he was about to embark on this sort of public profile, and I was just in the process of coming out.
May I ask, was he also a person of color or an
No,
immigrant?
he was a white guy.
Okay. So that's a difference as well.
Yes, I guess. You know, Aaron, the first time I had sex with him, I was like 21 when I first had sex with and it was with John. And I remember him handing me a bottle of soap, liquid soap. And I said, "What's this?" And he said, "It's antibacterial soap." And I said, "What's that?" And he said, "Well, haven't you heard gay men in New York and in San Francisco are dying and nobody knows why? But whatever it is, it'll eventually get here. And some people think it's a bacteria. So we used the soap after we had had sex. And clearly it was not a bacteria." So that was 1985. There wasn't even a name for the HIV.
A lot of
So
people
I
have.
got
Sorry,
I
pardon.
got busy. Sorry, I got busy. I was in finishing law school, looking for articles, and our lives didn't really intersect. And then I never saw him after like 86 or 87, because I then left. And I spoke to him after his diagnosis when he was in Ottawa. And I think we spoke once, maybe twice, and that was sort of it.
No, a lot of folks that I've spoken to talk to me about that early period where there wasn't a lot of information, and some other folks have told me about kind of interesting things people were doing before we had, all the information we had to try to protect themselves. And it's such a, I mean, obviously it's different, but it almost makes me think a little bit of those early COVID days. I don't know, even just from the confusion point of view, but very different, of course. But just that lack of certainty, especially for so long, the AIDS epidemic. I mean, it seems like it took a long time to get all the information that.
Yeah, and keep in mind, I mean, the social environment, I say this to my clients, who come from other parts of the world, and they come here and they think everything is hot pink and gay here, and that everybody is gay friendly and so on. And I'm like, first of all, that's not even true today. But, 40 years ago or 30 years ago or 50 years ago, that was really not the case, and it was not prevalent, and people were closeted and people were scared. And you're now coming into Canada after all of this AIDS activism and all of this sort of human rights work that has been done that brings us to this place.